Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Rod Hatley. And Rod's joining us from Choker Law Group in San Diego. And Choker does a wide variety of asset protection and wealth preservation and estate planning techniques. And we're going to talk about that. But first, Rod, welcome to the show.
Bill, thanks for having me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Before we get into all the details of asset protection and wealth preservation and estate planning, we always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. So could you share a little bit about your professional and personal background?
Glad to. Originally from Memphis, so if you hear something of a twang in my voice, that's where I got that from. Came to California 25 years ago with the Navy JAG Corps, so if you ever saw the movie A Few Good Men or the TV show JAG, that's what I used to do. And I started off as a criminal defense attorney, enjoyed that work, but I was always in a reactive mode as I was representing the accused at a court-martial. I always felt, you know, so much of the damage had already been done by the time the clients would show up on my doorstep. Mm-hmm. And while I was on active duty, my father passed away, and this is how I got into doing the estate planning that our firm does now. In 1992, Dad passed away. Dad was sick with leukemia, and I knew enough about the tax law to realize that we were probably going to have a problem from an estate tax perspective, but because Dad was sick, it was difficult to have that conversation because it's emotional at that point. So when Dad did pass, I took emergency leave, went back to Memphis for a couple of weeks. We handled the funeral, got Dad buried. And then because we had a will, we had to put that into probate court. And we visited with Dad's business attorney who'd helped Dad over the years with his business transactions, etc. And he was also a former IRS agent. He'd worked at the IRS going to law school. So mm-hmm. He knew how to crunch the numbers. So we visited with him to do the probate of the will. And then he had prepared a preliminary estate tax calculation for us. And my sister and I both fell out of our chairs. And suffice it to say, it was a 7-figure estate tax that was paid over 14 years. And because wills go through probate, it took us 7 years to go through probate back in Memphis, which was really sort of the impetus for me to get into tax law. So when I came off of active duty, I went University of San Diego has a great program. University of San Diego School of Law has a great tax program. And so I did that for a year, got smart about tax law, then went into private practice, and I bounced around between being with a firm and being solo. And now I'm in a great partnership with the Siddharth Choker in San Diego. And that's really what we do. We do asset protection and advanced estate planning.
What type of clients do you typically work with, Rod?
We work with a variety of different kinds of clients. Typically, they're going to be professionals, doctors, dentists, attorneys, accountants. They'll be highly compensated executives. They can be and have been real estate investors. We've been privileged to work with some professional athletes. So typically higher net worth and in some cases ultra high net worth. Those are the people that we typically serve in terms of both the advanced estate planning and also the asset protection planning that we do in our firm.
And they have the most problematic situations because, just like your dad's situation, and back then the estate tax exclusions were quite a bit lower.
Yeah, correct? They were $600,000 when Dad passed away. Today they're $5.34 million. So it's quite a difference between what it was in 92 and what it is presently. And, of course, the tax rate back then was 55%, whereas today it's only 40%. So differences all the way around.
Just quickly, for those who might not be familiar with how that transfer tax system works, could you just give us a quick overview on that?
Oh, sure. Well, right now everybody has in their hip pocket, whether you realized it or not, a coupon, if you will, for up to $5.34 million. And if a couple is married, they can combine their coupons and they can pass up to 10.68 million, or if you're a single person, up to 5.34 million estate tax free. So you can leave up to that amount without estate tax being imposed. For every dollar over that amount, it gets taxed at a 40% rate.
So for most people that are listening, especially our business owner clients, that business value gets lumped into that.
Sure.
your real estate that you might own, whether it's residential or rental or whatever else.
Exactly.
And who does all the valuations on all that stuff to figure out if it's going to be, what the value is going to be that's going to be subject to tax?
Well, you'll have to work with a good accountant, because, I mean, when someone passes, if there isn't the proper planning in place, we'll want to have an accountant helping the family figure out, because you're going to have to file a 706, which is that's the IRS form. It's the estate tax return. So you'll need to get valuations, and the accountant will work with the property appraisal people to figure out, well, what's the real property worth, and you'll need to get valuations of the stocks, and usually they do a split between the high and the low on the day of death, you know. So it's it gets kind of involved, and so a lot of this can be avoided if we can just get out ahead of this by doing the proper planning in advance. So that's really kind of, I hope that's what I bring to the conversations I have with my clients, in that having gone through an estate tax for several years and having gone through a lengthy probate process back in Memphis, I hope that's what I bring to this. It's not, for me, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's real world stuff, because I've lived it, and I don't want this for my clients. I want them to be able to remain in control of their assets. I want them to be able to enjoy the lifestyle that they've achieved, but I also want them to know that when death comes, or when disability or death comes, that they won't have to go through conservatorship, they won't have to go through probate, and there won't be a nasty estate tax waiting for the family when someone's gone.
And look, losing a parent is painful enough, but having to be constantly reminded for years after going through the process of the probate,
absolutely,
that's no fun. And
it's so avoidable. It's just simply a matter of just getting smart about what your options are and then making the decision that works for you. So much of the time, it's just most people don't know what they could do. So what I hope comes out of our when we counsel with clients, they understand that they have options, and we just encourage them, make an informed choice, know what you can do, and then act on it. Because the best knowledge in the world, it doesn't do you any good if you don't act upon it.
That's great advice. Now, let's talk about asset protection for a second, because a lot of our listeners are business owners, and it's a fairly complex asset. And so if they're thinking about selling their business and now they're going to have a whole bunch of cash, are they at higher risk? Or just give us kind of a high point of that. We're going to take a break in just about a minute. But are they moving into a higher risk environment?
Well, they can be. It just depends. Well, it depends. Well, when I graduated law school, my law degree is a JD. And now with that, I somewhat facetiously say that means just depends. So it really just depends. But I would say probably if they've had a liquidity event and now they're talking about meaningful money, it's probably valuable to start talking about how might we preserve and protect that, because it's not unusual for the buyer of a business to later come against you and say, well, you didn't disclose, or you didn't help me transition this correctly, and I'm suing you. Because now I have a burden and a problem because I bought this business and I didn't realize what a mess it was going to turn out to be.
Okay, so that's a very valid point. We're going to come back after this break and talk about that, and also share some client stories and tips and ideas and precautions for our listeners. I'm talking with Rod Hatley of Choker Law Group, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Want to grow the value of your company? Start with the values of your company. To stand out in today's overly commoditized world, your company must stand for something bigger than what you make. That's the work of the Values Institute. Our social science model of value-based culture development will help you grow the value of your company by growing trust, your most valuable corporate asset. To learn more about our proprietary process, visit thevalueinstitute.org and start growing the value of your business today.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. And with me now is Rod Hatley from Choker Law Group in San Diego. And before the break, we were talking about the importance of Understanding what your estate tax liabilities are going to be and planning for those, because he's been through it. It's a very painful process, and the IRS wants their pound of flesh when you pass away. And also preparing your assets so that you're protected from the claims of creditors and predators, I've heard it said.
Exactly right.
One question back to that valuation now. If someone has a sizable estate and they're able to go in and do all these valuations, why don't they just undervalue everything and get with underneath the limits?
Would that they could. It's a great question, and typically, really the answer is that the IRS really has the final say. Now, there is something called the alternate valuation date that you can do, you know, 6 months after the date of death. So if things have possibly fallen in value, you can go with the lesser. But you can't just arbitrarily pluck a number out of the air and say, well, we're going to go with this one. Because whatever you do, it has to be defensible before the IRS.
Everything you can think of has already been tried.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, so let's get back to the asset protection. I think that's a very important topic for our listeners.
Sure.
Now, if you're, let's say, thinking about selling your business in a couple of years, mm-hmm. and again, you've got this complex asset, you've got all kinds of moving parts in the business, what are some of the things that you can do to start building a protection or a fortress around some of these assets?
As we visit with clients and we understand what their concerns are, and they've got businesses and they've got other assets, rental properties, etc., we'll take a look. And every client is unique. Every client has different goals that come out of what they want to do. But we'll take a look at each client individually, and we'll take a look at what assets they do have and what's important to them. If it's a business, you know, we ask, well, what do you see happening with this? Are you going to sell the business? Are you going to maybe transition it to an adult child? Or are you going to give it to or transition it to a key employee? What does that look like, and how can we get you there? For other assets like real property, we can build firewalls of protection around these by putting them into, say, an LLC, a limited liability company. And basically, that prevents the owner of the property, in case there is a mold issue, a slip and a fall, lead paint, any kinds of issues like that. It just builds a firewall of protection around that asset so that it doesn't spill over into the other assets. And you as the owner, you're limited to the value of the asset that's in that LLC. So it kind of contains it.
We're isolating specific assets so that if anything happens there, then it doesn't spread to the rest of your assets.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of people say asset protection, well, I've heard of that, and there's offshore this and offshore that. Those are hiding and tax evasion schemes. What would you say to something like that?
Unfortunately, there are people out there who prey on the unsophisticated, and they will talk to you about going offshore and hiding assets and evading taxes. And unfortunately, that does happen. But I'm here to tell you that the way we practice in our office, we can go offshore if it makes sense to the client, and every client is unique, so we'd have to take a look at the circumstances. But a change in the law some years ago, we can achieve a similar level of protection domestically. So we found that it makes a lot more sense to keep a client domestically if they'd like to stay. And the way we practice law in our office, let me say it this way. Asset protection, if it's done legally and ethically, is not about hiding anything. It's about simply structuring the ownership of the asset so that they're safeguarded from risk. Nothing more, nothing less. And we can help clients avoid taxes. My law partner and I both have tax law degrees, advanced tax law degrees from University of San Diego, but we can't help them evade. And the old tired joke is, well, what's the difference? Well, it's about a year for every offense.
Okay, so what you're saying, I think, is that asset protection is sometimes just slowing down. When somebody sues you, it's slowing things down so that there's a chance to maybe settle, negotiate, whatever, because the rules of some jurisdictions, states, even offshore, even other countries, can be very different than for instance, the state of California.
Exactly right. So there are 14 jurisdictions around the country where you can take advantage of the laws as written, and you can set up a domestic asset protection trust in any one of those jurisdictions. The idea, Bill, is that as clients set up an asset protection structure, we're trying to just structure the ownership of the asset so that they are safeguarded from risk. And what that really means is either a lawsuit is never brought because if somebody is injured or hurt, wronged, or what have you, when they do an asset search, ideally they're going to find, well, you know, Mr. Smith or Dr. Smith really doesn't own anything, so what is the point of pursuing him or her? Mm-hmm. Because there's really nothing that we'd ever be able to, we'd never be able to pass the pay window. Or in the situation where there might be some emotion behind that lawsuit, at some point, the plaintiff has to understand, you know, you're going to spend time, effort, and money going after our clients, and all on the off chance that you'd ever be able to collect on your judgment. So why don't you talk settlement? And so usually we have put the clients, our clients, in a better posture because we did this planning ahead of time before anything showed up on the horizon, so that now they can talk to the plaintiff's counsel and talk about, well, what's it going to take to make this go away?
That makes a tremendous amount of sense. You're just basically, you're not trying to hide anything in this case. You're just saying, we want to take care of these things fairly and easily, and we can set up some assets in different types of structures or jurisdictions to get the best outcome for your clients.
Exactly.
Well, that makes a ton of sense. Now, what about the business owner that says, I'm getting sued, I need some asset protection? What do you say for you? The house is on fire and I need fire insurance. Is it the same thing?
It's like the old joke, you know, in the insurance industry, you know, when should you buy that policy of life insurance? The day before you need it. The idea is, this happens more often than not. It'd be great if all of our clients would see us before something happened, but we have to live in the real world and we know that people don't do that. So even if someone has been sued, it's worth a conversation to sit down, understand what's happening, and we can help the clients understand their rights and their responsibilities, and then we can make a determination, can we help? And if we can, we'll quote a fee, and if they would like to go forward, terrific. Here's how that would work, Bill. Let's say someone has been sued. We'll take a look at the claim. And we can, once we get a fair evaluation, usually there's an attorney representing the client anyway at that point, we'll talk to the attorney, find out, well, what's the relative value of this claim? And once we know that, and we usually get it in writing from the attorney, well, actually, we always get it in writing from the attorney, so that we can know, okay, this is what the value of the claim is or what it's expected to be, so we can undertake to set up an asset protection structure, put assets into it, except we have to leave enough out to satisfy any judgment that may come down the pike. We never want to make the client insolvent. That is to say that the liabilities exceed the assets. And as long as we do that, they should be fine. But again, you never know what would happen in a court. The old joke is that the law is what the courts will do in fact. But if we leave enough assets out, we should be able to take care of the rest of the assets, and the clients will then, you know, have protection as against any future potential creditor, not that existing creditor, but any future potential creditor going forward.
So it's still worthwhile to give a call.
Absolutely.
How do people get in touch with you and your firm, Rod?
Okay. The best way is, we're in San Diego, but we're happy to speak with folks up here in Orange County or in San Diego, wherever you may be located. Feel free to give us a call. The phone number, area code 858-384-5757, 858-384-5757, and our website is www.socalassetprotection.com. SoCalAssetProtection.com.
Rod, I want to thank you for coming in. It's been a very enlightening discussion, a lot of great information. Hope you'll come back and join us sometime, and we'll get deeper into some of these topics.
An absolute pleasure, Bill. Thank you for having me.
I've been talking with Rod Hatley of Choker Law Group, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.